This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Now, at this time, I always say, please open your King James Bibles to whatever book we're studying, book, chapter, verse, and line. However, today, we're taking a field trip. Today is America's Day of Repentance. Thank you, America, all over the fruited plain, for joining me. Let us start out just right. Let us put God first. Let us pray. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Lord. O precious Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, we gather together to thank you for this great United States of America. Father, you know that we have lost our way. The enemy has come in with sin, and the berries in your vineyard are poison. So therefore, Father, you told us in Isaiah 43:26 to put you in remembrance of your word. So we remind you of your word, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Thank you, Father, that you said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Amen. Oh, our Father, in Jesus' name, bow down your ear as we confess and as we repent as a nation. We ask you to forgive our sins and heal our land. We ask you to restore Jesus as Lord of America and the Bible, the book. And oh, Lord, restore once again the beautiful light of Jesus Christ above this United States of America, that the world which is in darkness may see that in America there is a Savior, and his name is Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. We ask your Holy Spirit will move all over America now, convict of sin, and draw people to call the name of the Lord Jesus. Heal us, O God, and save America. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Let's everybody in America say together, I agree in Jesus' name. Before we begin, I've got a very special guest with me here. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Uncle Sam. Yeah. Yay, Uncle Sam. Thank you, Uncle Sam, do you have anything to say to America?
I do. America, Uncle Sam wants you to repent.
You better do that. Don't make Uncle Sam come down there. Uh-huh. I happen to know who Uncle Sam is. He's the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida. He's my twin friend, Scott Merson. So we welcome you, Uncle Sam. Now, just before we repent, I want to remind all of you who we are in America. Here's what God's word says. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Israel had 12 sons. They're called the 12 patriarchs. They're the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel, and they have become as numerous as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. However, the house of Israel, all 12 tribes, had a spat, and they split. Two of the tribes broke off. That would be the tribe of Benjamin and the tribe of Judah. They changed their name and called themselves the House of Judah. For a large part, they are now in the land of Israel, although some of Judah, the king line, is on the throne of in England, the king line there. But what happened to the House of Israel, the 10 tribes? You can't lose that many people. The Bible says the Assyrian Sennacherib captured them, and the history tells us they migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, settled in what we now call Europe, Scotland, Ireland, and England. Now, they stopped calling themselves the House of Israel and began to use the name of the larger tribe, Ephraim, but they had a spat. And some of our forefathers broke off, came across the pond, the Atlantic Ocean, settled Canada, and these United States of America. Can't lose that many people, and here we are. And this is why America has been so blessed. When these Hebrew people, the tribes, came to America, the pilgrims, the first thing they did is put up an old rugged cross, and they dedicated this land to the glory of the one true God, Yahweh, and to his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know our first schools were in the churches? Why did they have school? To teach our children to read the Bible. Now, that's in a nutshell. It would take me 6 hours to explain it all. But now we realize why we have an obligation, and we have to be good stewards of this land and get us back to Jesus and back to the Bible. Now, what we're going to do, I am going to confess the sins, basic sins of the church, and Uncle Sam, my twin friend Scott here, is going to repent for them. The scripture that I'm using is found in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, and it begins with verse 10. The Bible says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. Now the writer goes on to say, he turned to see who it was there, and of course it was Jesus in all of his glory. And then Jesus told John, this was a prophecy, I want you to write in a book and send this. And he said, here's what it means. He said, you will see that I've got seven stars in my right hand. He said, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. That means the messages. And he said, the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. Now you can read all of that for yourself. So see, this is a prophecy of the end times. Now, it is true that there were seven churches in Asia, and they were in a circle. But this is symbolic, because Jesus says this is how it will be at the end. In other words, seven is God's perfect number. And so this is addressed to all of the Christian churches on round planet Earth here at the end. Now, as we study Revelation, we find that there are only two type churches. Don't worry about the name so much, worry about the type that actually please Jesus. So I'll give you the good news first. They are Smyrna and they are Philadelphia, the fig tree and brotherly love. Why do these two type churches please Jesus? Well, they tell you who those are, who say they are our beloved brother Judah, but they are not. They're the synagogue of Satan, Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. So I'm going to tell you who they are. They are the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. They're the descendants of Cain, and Cain is the seed of the serpent, that old devil who beguiled Eve there in the garden. Oh my goodness. Now, there are five type churches right now on round planet Earth that do not please Jesus. So what we're going to do is we're going to look to each church, and I'm going to confess their sin, and Uncle Sam will repent. When he says amen, I want all of you from shore to shore, border to border, from the White House to No House, from Capitol Hill to the dunghill, lowest dunghill in America, to say with me, I agree in Jesus' name. Okay? Now, the first type church that does not please Jesus is called Ephesus. The word Ephesus means permitted. This type church, right now today, has permitted the traditions of men to make void the word of God. Oh, they have one verse and 3 points. They have books about the book. But Paul said to read this epistle in the church, and Isaiah said in Isaiah 28, read it line by line. In other words, you don't take it out of context. So, Uncle Sam, will you repent for Ephesus, who makes traditions of men make void the word of God?
Yes, Lord. We, the Church of Ephesus, Father, we ask for forgiveness and repent for permitting things of this world and traditions of men to make void your precious word. Forgive us for falling into a religious trap. Help us seek your face and turn from these wicked ways. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And all over America, let's say together, I agree in Jesus' name. Remember the power of agreement. Now, the second type church there in the book of Revelation that does not please Jesus, here at the end, is the Pergamos type. Pergamos name means high and lofty and commerce. Very big, very proud, and money, money, money. I mean, it's almost a money market business, always begging for money. Would you repent for this type church, please, Uncle Sam?
Yes. Oh, Lord, we the church of Pergamos, Father, we ask for forgiveness, and we repent for our pride, which has led us to put mammon above your heart, above humility, above your love. Help us, O Lord, repent and turn from these wicked ways and seek your face. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. America, I agree in Jesus' name. Now, the third type church here at the end that does not please Jesus is Thyatira. Thyatira means Apollyon. You say, well, who in the world is Apollyon? Apollyon means perdition. Now, there's only one entity that's been sentenced to perdition, which means to turn to ashes from within and be no more. And that is documented in Ezekiel chapter 28, roundabout verses 18, 19, 20. That is King Tyrus, who's none other than the devil, the soon-coming Antichrist. Now, you say the Christian church worships him? Well, let me explain. Revelation chapter 9 gives us a metaphor of the king of the bottomless pit. That's the Antichrist. That's the devil with his Jesus costume on. He's called Abaddon, which means destruction. Who is a destroyer? Who is the destroyer? The devil. And his name also means Apollyon, which means perdition. And again, as I say, there's only one entity, and that is Lucifer, the devil, the soon-coming Antichrist, who's already been sentenced to perish within and be no more. So what this type church is, they mean well. They really love the Lord Jesus. But because they are mistaught, they are taught the life lie proverb. They're going to worship the first one coming in the sky, calling himself Jesus, but it'll be Apollyon. It'll be the son of perdition. Nope, that's not Judas. Perdition, Satan, coming in the sky, calling himself Jesus. Ezekiel 13 says, God says, I'm against those who teach my people to fly to save their souls. You see, the Antichrist comes at the sixth trump. The Lord Jesus comes at the seventh trump. Six comes before seven. If you fly out of here, you've flown right into the trap, and that's what it is. It is a snare of the fowler. So, Uncle Sam, would you please repent for this church? These people love Jesus. They're just mistaught.
Lord, we the church of Thyatira, Father, we ask for forgiveness and repent for allowing the enemy to sew kerchiefs over your outstretched knuckles, blinding us from your truth. Fill us with your knowledge, O Lord. Fill us with your wisdom, dispelling this darkness and this lie off of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All America, I agree in Jesus' name. Now, the fourth type here at the end that does not please Jesus is called Sardis. The Sardis type, it means tolerance. This type church tolerates sin, not only in the congregation, but right in the pulpit. This type church actually practices what God calls an abomination. When the same-sex law was passed in our land, this type church endorsed it, even in the pulpit. Now, I want to tell you, I do not hate anyone who has that lifestyle. I used to have a whole school full of them. I taught them, and I loved them very much. But God calls that an abomination, and we don't tolerate sin. So this type church also, some of them now are removing the crosses and putting up Islamic prayer shawls. Yes, the cross offends. It's supposed to offend because we have sinned. So we want to repent, Uncle Sam. Will you do that for the church that tolerates sin?
Yes, Lord, we the church of Sardis, we ask for forgiveness, Father, and we repent for preaching tolerance instead of repentance through your word, for mixing with the fallen world, distorting your love, and allowing abominations into the house of God and upon your people. Remove the enemy's blinders from our hearts, from our eyes, and from our minds. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, America, I agree in Jesus' name. Now, last but not least is the Church of Laodicea. This means lukewarm, room temperature. Remember Jesus said, either be cold or hot. He said, I can't stand lukewarm. You make me sick to my stomach. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. You make me vomit. Well, this type church has a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Oh, they go to church and they hold their Bibles. They never have any fruit. They are cold. They do not ever have any passion. They do not move in the gifts of Holy Spirit. It's just a ritual. They are like trees twice dead plucked up at the root. They are dead. They don't even know they are dead. Lukewarm. Will you please repent for this type of church, Uncle Sam?
Yes. Father, we, the Church of Laodicea, we come to you, Father, and we ask for forgiveness, and we repent for our complacency. We repent for our lack of heart and movement. Father, we repent for our nothingness. We ask, O Lord, that you fill us with your word in a way that will give us a new heart and a new spirit and new movement, Father. Bring us alive. Breathe breath into these dry bones, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
America, I agree in Jesus' name. Now, what we've done, we've covered the basic sins according to Revelation of the churches, the Christian churches. But Uncle Sam, you know our secular America is full of sin too.
Yes.
All of you might know that Satan has used four hidden dynasties, they're not so hidden anymore, to destroy America. One is political, oh Lord, what else can I say? And one is economic, and one is religion. But one of the worst is the educational dynasty. Our children in America have no idea of the beautiful history of America. What I'm telling you right now, they've never heard it. I'm sorry, not even in the churches. They're called good evil and evil good. And while God says there are only two genders, male and female created he them, they are being even taught that they can be all kind of genders. The educational system is so corrupt. Uncle Sam, Scott Merson, your parents were educators, were they not?
Yes, they were for 30 years each here in the state of Florida.
30 years?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, you're the perfect one. Would you pray for the educational dynasty?
I'd love to. Father, we just come before you, Lord. And we lift up the educational dynasty here across America, Father. We ask for forgiveness, Lord, and we ask for repentance. We repent, Father, for allowing, Lord, for allowing the enemy to come in upon our schools, Father. We repent for removing you, from these churches, Father. Father, we just, from these schools, Father, we just come before you, Lord, and we lift up a prayer of your spirit falling upon the schools,
yes,
and upon the land, Father, and upon the children of these schools. Let your spirit dispel this darkness, Lord. We pray for the authorities over these schools, Lord, to be given your spirit of conviction, Lord, that will bring them back to the grounding of your word, placing,
yes,
back in our schools and upon these children, Father. These are innocent children, Lord, that need your word, that need your guidance, Father. So we ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that you bring back into the schools, Father, your precious word,
yes,
your precious presence, Father, to touch this touch this dynasty and heal our children. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
And let us all shout with fervor, America,
I agree
in Jesus' name. At this time, I want to ask everyone all over America who has never accepted the Lord, if you are not saved, to pray this prayer with me, and we will have salvation all over America. Do you know what the first American dream was from our founding fathers? That every citizen of the United States would be saved. Well, let's bring that dream come true. Now, I'm going to pray as though I were lost, and Uncle Sam here is going to repeat it for all of you in all 50 states all over this country. Pray this prayer of salvation, and God will save you. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To bring the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
To bring the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
To America.
to America,
and to the utmost parts of the earth,
to the utmost parts of the earth.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. 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 Now, for all of you who prayed that, God bless you. And at the end of this program, Uncle Sam, my announcer, Scott, is going to give you my telephone number. I invite you to call and leave the declaration that you've accepted Jesus on my voicemail. Now, at this time, I'm going to bless all of you with an Aaronic benediction, which has been passed down from generation to generation. But I do want to say, even when I say goodbye, when Uncle Sam and I say goodbye, please stay tuned, because a wonderful man of God, Dr. Paul Esposito, who's a pastor and he's the manager of this radio station, he is going to pray a final anointed prayer for America. So please wait for Dr. Paul. Now, let me bless you. All over America, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you, America, perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you, America, that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever. Amen.
Precious Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we the people of America now ask that the Holy Spirit intervene for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, that we pray according to the Father's will. We lift up to you our President Donald Trump. Father, we praise you and thank you for bringing him to us for such a time as this. It was ordained by you, and we see that, and we thank you for him. Father, we ask that you will pour in the oil and wine and heal all the wounds that President Trump and his precious family have received during all of this persecution that he's received for almost 4 years. We ask you will heal his family and heal his heart. Let not his heart be troubled. We thank you that you have sustained him and kept him, Father God, continuing to make America great again and never giving up. And we give you praise and honor. We know that you heard our prayers and you have blessed him, and we thank you. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that you will continue to protect President Donald Trump. As you said in your Hebrew, shamar him about wherever he is, in the air, the land, or the sea. Protect him. Let President Trump live and not die. I ask you to renew his strength as the eagles. Renew his youth as the eagles. Keep him healthy in mind and body and soul and spirit. We ask, Father, that you will give him good sleep and let his eyes see, his ears hear, his legs walk. Let his heart feel good. And Father God, in Jesus' name, I'm asking that the Holy Spirit anoint President Trump. Lead him by your Holy Spirit. Grow him in your word. Give him the wisdom of a greater than Solomon. Let him be wiser than serpents and harmless as dove. And Father, in Jesus' name, we just ask that even now, as President Trump and all of America's children of God come together on this day of repentance, that all of us, Father God, will turn from our wicked ways, seek your face, and that all of us, including President Trump, will make Jesus our Lord and the Bible the book. And Father, we come together now and ask in the prayer of agreement all over this country that you will bless President Trump and let him be re-elected as President of the United States by a wide landslide majority of the Electoral College and a wide landslide majority of the popular vote. And let him live, Father God, and let us all come together in America, Father God, to make this country holy again. Jesus Lord, Bible book. Father, I do ask that anybody around him who's a traitor or pulling some kind of another silent coup, that they will be exposed and deposed. And Father, let Jesus Christ once again be lifted up from America, that the world may know that we have a Savior, and his name is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. We thank you for our President, and we ask your blessing on him and on his precious family. Heal their wounds. And Father, thank you. Save America.
heal America, Jesus, Lord of America, the Bible, the book of America, and God bless America. Lord, you are God, and we are your people, and I thank you for hearing this prayer, and I ask you to please do for President Trump and all of America, exceeding abundantly above all I have asked or thought, in the mighty name of Jesus. All America, let's say together now, together, I agree in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
God bless you. God bless you. Now, remember, I'm going to turn. I'll be back next week with my regular program, one book, chapter, verse, and line, everything of the Bible. So tune in then. And God bless you. I appreciate so much you praying with me. Now, don't forget to wait for Dr. Paul Esposito for the final prayer. Until then, I love you. And Uncle Sam and I say to you, America, God save America. Wait for Dr. Paul.
1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. Peter writes, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we pray right now for this president. We lift him up and we pray that you would help him endure Satan's last stand here before judgment falls on this nation and this last ditch effort to destroy this United States. We pray you give him strength, help him to stand against all of the evil that's coming his way. Lord, we pray that you'd strengthen him, help him to endure this. We pray that you would impart your will into him so that he would hear loud and clear and be able to implement your will here. And we just pray that you would help him to be like Jehu, and help him to do what needs to be done. And that others will come and see his zeal that he has for the Lord. We pray for this country. In this midnight hour. And we read that if the righteous are scarcely saved, that where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? This world doesn't realize how close it is to judgment and the end of this age and the appearance of the man of sin. Lord, we pray for this country. And we pray that if your people who are called by your name will humble themselves and pray and seek your face, that we know that that's just a small majority of people. But you didn't say, Lord, if everyone in the world humbled themselves and pray. You said that if your people would humble themselves, that is, get on their knees and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, then you'd hear from heaven and forgive us our sins and heal our land. So we can only account for ourselves. Lord, we lift up this country. We pray, we ask for your mercy. Pray for your mercy to fall on this country. And we pray for strength and that you would help us to tear down the strongholds that are destroying this country. Because one president can't change this country, Lord. The problem is deeply rooted. It's rooted in the school system. It's rooted in the authority. It's rooted in the old money behind the scenes that's destroying this country. Not just trying, they are destroying this country. This is so much worse than when Miss Sherry asked me to pray. Look at everything that's happened since then. They're not trying to destroy, they are destroying. And we pray right now, Lord, that you would just help us, because I know we've got to do the work, to rip up this evil by the roots, to destroy those, that teach that they came out of from a frog, that teach those that are deceiving the children of school today are out here on of school yesterday are out here on the streets today destroying this country. We didn't think it ever could be done, and it's being done now. Help us to rid the evil, Lord. Rid the evil that's destroying this country, and we pray again that there be a last turn to you and a revival here in this country. And for that, we pray for an overflow from your Holy Spirit to fall on each and every one of us here, all of us, those that know you, that they would turn back to you, and those that don't know you, that they would receive you for the very first time. God bless this great country founded in Jesus' name. People would regret what they did to the great Christian Christopher Columbus, who got on his knees and called on the name of Jesus Christ when he hit the shores of his great country because he loves Jesus Christ. Bless this United States. Help us to rid ourselves once and for all of the evil that's actively destroying this country. And I pray, I join my voice with all these others and these others around the world praying for a great revival that you'd move and shake once again in this United States and turn our hearts back towards you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
You're listening to
the 91.5
FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, WMIE.
Can a nation be changed? 2 Chronicles 7:14, God says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." This Saturday, the 4th of July, make it your most important thing you can do is lift up and pray for the United States. Do what God says in His Word. Humble yourself. Pray. Turn from your sins. Pray for this country like Daniel did. Daniel prayed, and Daniel accepted all the sins upon himself. Daniel said, "We have sinned. We have shamed face." Be like Daniel today. Lift up and pray for the United States on the 4th of July. Turn and repent of the sins of this country and turn to God. Sherry Medlock also invites you to join her for her weekly radio program at 9 a.m. on Saturday morning.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Loved me.
a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ears, the sweetest name on earth. And oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.
It up.
Love you, Lord.
Oh, how I love
yes,
Jesus.
We do. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Oh,
how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.
We love you, Lord. Lift it up.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh,
how I love
Jesus. We love you, Lord.
Yeah.
there's hope for the hopeless. For all those who strayed, come sit at the table. Come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, a rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow heaven can't cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, under the cold, you're not too far. So lay down your burden, lay down your heart, come as you are, come as you are, for His arms, come as you are. There's joy for the morning. Sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken,
listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary modern praise and worship music, 91.5 FM.
Great your faithfulness, oh God, my Father, oh God, my friend, your love, it never fades. And so I'll love you until the end. When shadows fall, you never change. From age to age,
we'll be right back. us were lost, were found, and broken hearts were healed. We've known, we've felt the power of your presence. With mountains fell and every wave was still. One look at what you've done is a glimpse of what's to come.
Been my God.
all the way my Savior leads me, and cheers each winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. You lead me, you keep me from falling, you carry me close to your heart, and surely your goodness and mercy will follow me all the way my Savior leads me, all the fullness of his love, the sureness of his promise, in the triumph of his blood. And when my spirit clothed immortal wings its flight to realms of death, this is my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all the way. You lead me, keep me from falling.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Jesus didn't stop being who he was to reach somebody else.
Dr. Tony Evans says the Lord didn't need to compromise the truth to successfully reach across ethnic and cultural divides.
But his sociology opened up an opportunity for theology.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Prejudice takes practice, and Dr. Evans, you've said that most of us have been getting plenty of it since we were kids. Unlearning it isn't easy, but
As a way of introducing today's message, where do we start?
Well, there needs to be a call, first of all, to the Christian community, but even broader, to understand God's perspective on race and culture, and to begin to respond to that perspective rather than all the opinions of men. God created the races. He had an intent for it. He has explained how he wants the races to work and to work together, and that's what we should be promoting.
Well, we'll get some practical advice on how to do that as we jump into today's message titled Race, Culture, and Christ.
Every 4 years, there are the Olympics, where the elite athletes of the world come together to compete. They have worked hard to be viewed and understood and seen as the very best of the best. And so they come and they compete against other athletes from other countries, aspiring ultimately for the gold medal, the ultimate recognition of their superiority. However, when the gold medalist stands on the platform to receive the gold medal, they do not ask him or her what's their favorite song. They play the national anthem of the country of which they are a part, with their flag flying high, because it is understood while that athlete used their talents and their skills and their efforts and their hard work, they represent a bigger country. They represent a bigger kingdom. It's not just about them. It includes them, it utilizes them, but it's bigger than them. And so they want it to be made clear that they did this under the banner and under the flag of the kingdom that they represent. God has a kingdom. It's made up of citizens. And his intention was never that their individual uniquenesses would ever cause them to lose sight of the flag flying over them, the flag of the cross and the flag of our commitment to Christ. America, in particular, is reaching an all-time low in this issue of race and culture and class. Just under the surface, there's this ever-bubbling problem that has